This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, February 19th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. The student trustee for the University of Illinois' Urbana-Champaign campus says the NCAA sanctions against the school made the retirement of Chief Illiniwek inevitable. Christopher Cantus says that became clear last April when the U of I's final appeal of the sanctions was rejected by the NCAA. Cantus says being able to host postseason athletics is important to all sports at the U of I and not just the ones where Chief Illiniwek performs.
It's very important. I mean, if I played tennis, I'd want to have home field advantage. I mean, I think that's only fair. And so we wanted to try to, you know, help as much as we could and enable them to have postseason athletic events hosted at home field advantage at the University of Illinois.
U of I Board Chairman Larry Epley announced Friday that Chief Illiniwek's last performance will be at this Wednesday's men's basketball game against Michigan. After that, the NCAA will immediately lift its sanctions and allow the school to once again host postseason games. Student trustee Cantus says Urbana-Champaign students are divided on the chief issue, but he thinks getting out from under the NCAA sanctions will benefit the university in the long run. Meanwhile, students at yesterday's men's basketball game against Northwestern seem unanimously unhappy about the school's decision to drop its 81-year-old American Indian mascot. Some are circulating emails and messages on social networking websites with plans for a vigil this week outside University President Joseph White's house. 19-year-old freshman Kim Kaza of Rolling Meadows said in the Orange Crush student section at the game, she says halftime will, quote, definitely be different. Some wonder what, if anything, will replace the chief after the last dance Wednesday. Freshman Greg Shoemaker hopes Illinois doesn't follow in the footsteps of Stanford University. The school replaced its American Indian mascot in 1972 with a cardinal and an image of a redwood. Shoemaker says the tree is, quote, a little weird. Legislation that would require all of Indiana's nursing homes to install sprinkler systems within 5 years is gaining traction in the General Assembly. Supporters who have pushed lawmakers to enact stricter nursing home regulations the past 2 years came close to victory in 2006 before the bill died in the session's closing hours. This session, proposals for comprehensive fire prevention in nursing homes are contained in two nearly identical bills in the House and Senate that unanimously passed in each chamber. Both bills would require full sprinkler systems in the homes by 2012. Robin Grant of United Senior Action of Indiana says not requiring sprinklers or smoke alarms in nursing homes is like playing Russian roulette with nursing homes residents' lives every day. Illinois requires the annual renewal of vehicle registration stickers. Amanda Venicky reports on an effort to make buying a new sticker more convenient.
Right now, drivers can purchase license plate stickers through the mail, over the internet, at Secretary of State facilities, and at some banks and currency exchanges. But people may soon be able to buy the stickers at the grocery store and at retail shops. The stickers usually cost nearly $80, and under the new program, stores could charge an extra fee of up to $5.50. But, says Secretary of State spokesman Randy Nairn,
many of the merchants, retail merchants, probably would choose not to assess a fee that high or maybe any fee at all. It may just be an extra service they want to provide that would, you know, bring more customers into their stores.
Nairn says the office is still working out details, but he says license renewal stickers could be sold in stores in a month's time. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Illinois state officials say the state's doubling of funding last year to expand Amtrak service in the state is paying off. Ridership on state-supported trains in the Chicago to St. Louis corridor jumped 95% after two round trips were added, bringing the total to five on October 30th. The Chicago to Carbondale route saw ridership jump 68% and the Chicago to Quincy corridor rise 38% since a state-supported round trip was added on each of those routes. Mike Claffey of Illinois Department of Transportation says the expanded service between Chicago and the three cities tapped a growing demand for passenger rail service. Amtrak says the added trains were also expanded the availability of departure times, making passenger train service more attractive to business travelers. Health experts warn that foods high in trans fats, sodium, and calories can cause heart disease, diabetes, and high blood pressure. Now a state lawmaker wants restaurants to warn their customers about these foods. Krista Kukowski reports.
Chicago Democrat Mary Flowers says she's worried about the growing number of obese people in Illinois. She's pushing a measure that would force all restaurants in the state to post signs that notify patrons that some menu items are unhealthy. Restaurants wouldn't have to specify which foods. The sign would generally state that just some dishes may be high in fat or sodium. She says educating people will make them think twice about what they're eating. But spokesperson Andrew Ahrens says the Illinois Restaurant Association is opposed to the idea. He says signs won't help.
Data states that they bear no influence over a customer's decision to dine out or to purchase food. Nutritional labels have been around on packaged food since, I believe, 1990. Yet the issue of obesity is still confronting Illinois.
Ahrens also says that not all restaurants can afford to pay for the signs. I'm Krista Kukowski.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. The new movie Breach tells the story about an FBI agent who became a spy for the KGB. It reminds commentator Amy Guida of a different story, one that may be connected or maybe not. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
The new movie that's out about a real-life spy case from Washington, D.C. reminds me of a somewhat unusual experience I had when I lived there. I wrote about it first a few years ago. My husband and I used to go walking in a park near our home in Vienna, Virginia, a suburb of D.C., and I'd very often find a penny along the wooded path where we walked, one half hidden under a leaf, another laying at the side of the path. But we'd frequently go walking after work, and on most of those walks, I'd find a penny in the dirt on the path in the park, and I wondered who was leaving them. This became quite a ritual for us, the walking, the pennies. One day, after finding the day's coin, I suddenly remembered that when I was a little girl, my grandma used to give me a penny for each hand before I left her house. I shared the memory with my husband. My grandma had died several years before. And at that exact moment, I found a second penny right at my feet. I decided that day that the pennies must be from heaven. I told my sons the penny story a few years back during a discussion about real-life mysteries. The very next day, I opened the paper and learned that a man from Vienna had been arrested in a park for espionage. After some investigation, I found out that, yes, he'd used the same park where I'd found my pennies. And more. Along the same path I walked, under a bridge I remember very well, he would leave top-secret information for the KGB. And the KGB would express its gratitude by leaving money under that same bridge, 17 times, and much, much more than a penny or two. An affidavit in the case explained that the man in the KGB had worked out signals. A horizontal strip of white tape on the road sign nearby meant that money or perhaps diamonds awaited the man in a plastic bag taped under a certain corner of the bridge. Knowing this, I have a hazy memory of feeling very uncomfortable one time around that area of the path in the park. I vaguely recall a chance meeting with someone there when something just didn't seem right. Of course, it could have been anyone, and the years don't parallel exactly those in the affidavit. But that particular place on the path in the park is frozen in time for me. I can bring to mind the bridge, the highway sign, the Moose Lodge nearby, as if I'd walked it for the last time yesterday, not many years ago, many walks in many different places later. My pennies, found along the path where the FBI agent and the KGB exchanged information and money, are in a crystal bowl in my living room that I bought specially to hold the pennies. It's a bowl from Poland, where my grandma was born. But now I wonder if maybe those pennies weren't sent from the heavens, but dropped along the path as a sort of sign from very worldly individuals. I'll probably never know. We returned to the path outside Washington, D.C. a few weeks after the man's arrest. We parked our car, we walked to the bridge, just to show my sons where this had all happened. And along a straightaway on the path, my oldest son found his first mystery penny. Just one. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for East Central Illinois today, expect intervals of clouds and sunshine, windy, the high 37 degrees, much warmer than the past week or so. The wind from the south at 20 to 30 miles per hour with higher gusts. Cloudy tonight, some drizzle and freezing drizzle possible after midnight, the low around 30. We'll have winds from the southwest at 15 to 25 miles an hour during the evening hours, then from 8 to 16 miles an hour from the west after midnight. Tomorrow, cloudy, some freezing drizzle possible early, occasional light rain showers and drizzle during the afternoon, the high 38 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, February 19th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.